tonight is going to be talking about loving your neighbor. And make sure you come next week. Marcia Dykstra will be talking about a legacy of fruitfulness. And we all want that. We want results from our life. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in others, even spiritually. And so we're going to be hearing about how to do that. Last week, Leah taught us about nurturing children and little ones and nurturing their hearts. And the thing that really stood out was that you cannot give to others what is not in here. And so if you are not being nurtured by the Lord daily, you have nothing to give. And so all the frustration can build up and all the problems and all the things and the cares of the day can overshadow. And so to be a spiritual woman, you have to go to the source of spiritual, which is God's word. So let's welcome Kathy and begin.
Thank you, Bonnie. All right, let's start by praying. Dear Jesus, Lord, I pray for your anointing, both on me speaking and on the listeners. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing. I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and in our minds. I pray for open hearts and open minds, and that we would each have a teachable spirit tonight to be searching for what it is that you're saying to us. What is the message you have for each one of us individually? May we leave this place changed and desiring to be more like you. Okay, before we begin, I'm going to just preface this by saying that I am a teacher. So, and the research shows that you learn best by doing. So my handout, my listening guide that's in the back, is probably a little bit longer than the other ones you see, but that's to help you do, so you can write as you're listening. And don't panic if you happen to miss a blank. I have a sheet that has all the answers that you can come get from me at the end. And for those that are listening by audio, there will be an answer sheet in the bookstore next week that you can get as well. Okay, so as we begin to dig into how we can love our neighbors as ourselves, let's start with seeing what God's word has to say about it. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied in Mark 12, 30-31, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these." John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 tells us, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So as we look at these verses, we can conclude that Jesus ranks us loving our neighbors, here's your first blank, as extremely important. He also tells us that when we love them, it is how other people will truly know that we are his disciples. When our walk matches our talk as we love one another, it helps others around us to have a tangible way of seeing and beginning to understand that God is love. Satan would love to keep God's children in a place of self-absorbency, in a place where our walk does not match our talk, so that our message will be weakened, so that the unbelievers who are watching us would come to the false conclusion that God underneath it all really doesn't change anything. The verses in Corinthians also let us know that because we have been so loved and forgiven by God, that same love should compel us to die to self and to live for Christ. We need to pray and ask God to empower us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We've been learning about how God created and designed us to be his image bearers. Also that he designed us as women to be helpers and life givers. In the book, Biblical Womanhood, they talk about how our reference point is God, his word is our authority, and our purpose is his glory. They also share that our design as a helper transcends time and place. It's larger than any role in life, but impacts every role. It is good because God is good. Ours is a calling to nurture, to defend, to bring comfort and caring. I loved how Leah shared last week that we can't effectively be life givers if our own cup is empty. If our own cup is empty, we'll have nothing to pour out to others. On the same token, if we are not actively connected to the vine, which is Jesus and his word, we cannot effectively love our neighbor well either. Two words best summarize this gift of mercy or helper ministry being expressed: comfort and community. God is calling us to be life givers in every relationship and every circumstance. Yet if we are truly honest, we would have to admit that sometimes we are guilty of being life drainers more than life givers. In our own strength, we will burn out and at times mess up. That is why it is essential that we pray and ask God to fill us with his love and his strength every day. Know that if God calls you to it, he will be faithful to equip you for it. We just need to lean on his strength and not our own. Jesus himself set the example that he did not act or speak according to his own initiative, but according to the will of his Father. In our own strength, we can do nothing, but with the power of God working through us, we can do so much more than we ever could on our own. Thankfully, it doesn't depend on us. God's grace enables us to serve beyond our own abilities. Consider this verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. God uses those of us who aren't qualified so that he is glorified. It's not surprising that Jesus called a bunch of ordinary fishermen to follow him. Then when they did amazing things, people knew that it was because God was helping them, and not because of their education or their elite status in life. So let me ask you, ladies, what do you think are the biggest obstacles towards us loving our neighbors? Just raise your hand and kind of speak loudly so I can hear you. What are some things that get in the way of you loving your neighbors? A little louder. Busyness. Not having enough time. Okay. Think of any others? Not making it a priority in your life. Maybe not feeling like you have anything in common with them. Yeah. Okay, that comparison-itis. Okay, right. I also thought, sometimes I think we believe that we're not qualified, that we need to have some kind of formal evangelism training before we can share Jesus or share love with other people. Those are all things that kind of get in our way sometimes. Sometimes, too, I think just the fear of the unknown. When God places us in a situation where we've never been before and we don't know what to say or what to do, we've not had that modeled for us, that can kind of ruffle our feathers too. So let's tackle some of those issues. In her book, The Best Yes, Making Wise Decisions in the Midst of Endless Demands, Lisa Turkers talks about how the two words, yes and no, must be used wisely, or the acid of overactivity will eat holes in our souls. We need to pray and ask God to help us discern what is best, so that we don't continually overschedule ourselves and have our children and ourselves in every activity under the sun. We all need downtime. Kids do, and moms and dads do too. We have to be careful not to allow dance or sports to become an idol. To walk in wisdom, we must make decisions today that will still be good for our family tomorrow. We need to ask ourselves if this is a good fit, physically, financially, spiritually, and emotionally. I want to share an acronym with you that a wise friend once shared with me: BUSY, being under Satan's yoke. When we allow ourselves and our lives to become filled with excessive busyness because we are trying to be everything for everybody, we confuse the command to love with the disease to please, and things become totally out of balance. We start to become filled with stress and worry instead of peace. So before we commit to anything, we need to pray and ask God if it's something that will strengthen our family or weaken it. It is okay to have healthy boundaries on our schedule so that we have enough time to be obedient to what the Lord has called us to do. Please hear me when I tell you this. A need does not always equal a calling. Let me say it one more time so it sinks in. A need does not always equal a calling. There are hundreds of good things and good causes out there, and God is not calling us to be all things to all people. So don't let guilt or people-pleasing be the driving force for your decisions. We will have to give an account for how we spend our time. How much of our time are we investing in the things that have eternal value? Think on that for a minute. Out of all the things you do during the course of a week, how many of those things have eternal value? Speaking of things that consume our time, we need to be very careful about how much time we're devoting to social media. It's very easy for it to become a time sucker, and without meaning to, we can send our friends and our family the message that what's happening on the other side of that screen is more important than they are. I know that's kind of an ouch. Please just pray on it and ask God to reveal where you're honestly at with that. And then consider limiting your time on it so that you have more time to devote to your family and to do the things that God is calling you to do. Our husbands and our children must be our priority blessings. We don't need to ask ourselves as God is wanting us to serve them and love them well. His word is very clear on that. They are to be our first and primary ministry, but not our only ministry. Oftentimes, God allows us to include our children as we serve others. Whenever it's possible and appropriate, involve your children in helping to serve others with you. Bring them along with you to take flowers and pictures to someone who's sick in the hospital or lonely in a nursing home. Let them help you make cookies to take to your new neighbors. It's important that they see the importance of loving others and that the whole world does not revolve around them. In the end, it's not supposed to be all about us. It's supposed to be all about Him. Someone is teaching our sons and daughters about what it means to be a man or a woman of God. Is it the culture or is it the church and committed believers living out their faith day in and day out? So much of what they learn from us is caught more than taught. They will see what we truly value by the way we live our lives. If one generation is careless, the next generation suffers. Look around us, ladies. We see people every day whose lives are full of pain and doubt, because of the ones who were called to love them most were careless or self-absorbed. Our role to be helpers and life givers and encouragers It is a high and holy calling from God himself. Much sorrow awaits those who argue with their Savior and live their life only for things that benefit themselves. You may never know how God may use a simple act of kindness to unlock someone's heart to being open to the things of God. Remember, Jesus did not run away from those who were hurting, but towards them. Pray that God will give you Holy Spirit boldness and that he will help you to discern who he is calling you to help and when to listen and when to share. Let's be honest. In our flesh, there will always be something inside us that wants to run away or make excuses versus entering into the suffering of those around us. Deep inside, we know that showing up for people who are suffering will cost us something. Maybe even a little piece of your faith. For example, maybe you had a faith that believes that God plus prayer equals healing here on earth. And then you are called to walk beside one of God's saints who's dying of cancer and discover that sometimes that equation does work that way. But other times in reality, it looks more like God and plus prayer equals God's will being done. And sometimes that will is for healing to happen in heaven and not here on earth. Jesus encourages us to die to self and to not give in to the flesh. His desire is that we learn to walk in the Spirit. Don't feel pressured into trying to serve exactly like someone else. Comparison can kill contentment. God has wired and gifted you in unique ways. Just ask him to help you be the best wife, mom, daughter, and friend that he's calling you to be, even if it looks different from how your mom raised you. Sometimes the areas that God calls us to serve in can feel scary or overwhelming. I felt that way this year when two of my students that lived three houses down from us showed up at our door in a complete state of panic because their dad had just committed suicide in front of them. I remember telling God in my mind, I have no file for this. I have no idea what to say or do. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that he has the file and will be with me every step of the way. His file filled my heart with peace, despite seeing and hearing the horror and hysteria that was all around me. My husband called prayer warriors and asked them to pray that God would give us courage and the words and wisdom to know what to do in this really horrific situation. God was so faithful and is continuing to use us in the life of this family to bear witness to the fact that God is love, and he can bring healing and hope to even the deepest of wounds. Other times, God may call us to serve someone who is not in a place of being able to tell us what they need. If this is the case, think about possible needs and seek to meet them. I remember reaching out to a friend whose son was dying of cancer. She was so overwhelmed, she could not tell me what she needed or wanted. So I literally just showed up at Sam's Club saying, God, I have no idea what this family needs right now, but you do. So I prayed as I shopped and felt led to put things in the cart that seemed strange. Plastic plates, silverware, meat and veggie trays, lunch items, potato chips. I showed up at her house only to discover that while I was shopping, her son took a major turn for the worse. She all of a sudden had lots of family members who were showing up at her house. The items that I brought made it possible for her to not feel a need to spend time worrying about feeding people or worrying about the dishes, but instead to focus her energy on being with her son. That very night, he went home to be with Jesus. I had no idea that they would even have that need that day, but God did. I share these things with you not to boast, but to encourage you that if you are led into a situation where you don't know what to say or do, to remember to trust him, and he will guide you. Pray on it and watch him be faithful and walk beside you, helping each step of the way. I'm passionate about loving our neighbors as ourselves because I myself went through a series of prolonged health trials where I needed the body of Christ to love and help care for my family's needs. Thankfully, right before that time happened in my life, God arranged for a wise friend who had just endured a big trial himself to give me the message. He said, "When it comes time that you're the one in need, don't rob other people the blessing of being a blessing. Just be a gracious receiver." I'm definitely someone who's more comfortable on the serving, helping end than on the receiving end, but God had different plans. I was able to see firsthand the beauty and glory that comes about when Christians open their hearts and love their neighbors as themselves. It bears a powerful testimony, both to the unbelievers who see it and to the child of God who's suffering. In her book, Just Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Suffering Together, Kara Tibbetts talks about things that she learned as the body of Christ walked beside her and her family during her battle with cancer. She shares, "There is so much power in just showing up, humble power in saying, 'I'm here. I may not have the answers, but I'm here.' Most often, it's those who come without answers or agendas who are the most helpful. Often, the people who are suffering are not looking for you to fix it, but to draw them close and tenderly speak love over them. Take the positive lessons that you've learned about community in your own time of trials and use it to help you be there for others when their soul most needs practical help and encouragement. It's important to remember that suffering is not the absence of God's goodness. In the Bible, it tells us in Hebrews 5:8-9, that Jesus, who never sinned, was made perfect by what he suffered. Choose to continue to believe that God is good, and that when we don't understand his hand and the suffering of those who are dear to us, we can always trust his heart. When we look at the cross, his love is undeniable. Even though we may not get answers to all of our questions this side of heaven, we can know that he is with us and that he cares more deeply for us and our loved ones than we can possibly imagine. Showing a person that they matter in the midst of suffering is a precious gift. It reminds them that they are loved and not forgotten. When good moments come, cherish them. Look for things to celebrate and praise God for. Don't wait for things to get better to celebrate the small joys and glimmers of God's grace that you see. Things might not get better. When the lows come, don't be afraid to let the tears flow. They're God's way of helping some of our pain that's trapped inside to find a way out. Ask God to bring beauty from the ashes like only he can. Ask him to show you and the person suffering how he is at work, even in the midst of the hard. When relationships change because of suffering or hardship, please don't discount what you had. It's not because of something you did or didn't do. It's just simply the nature of suffering. But those moments and those friendships all matter. Even if they don't look the same as they once did. Remember that it's not wise to compare our suffering. Everyone processes their hard in a unique way. And no two people grieve in exactly the same way. When we show up seeking to be a blessing, we will receive a blessing in return. It's okay to be messy together. Look for the beautiful community that has been built on this hard journey. Beauty that was not born out of a place of strength, but out of a place of weakness. Beauty that comes from a humble heart that's willing to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Consider praying for the spouse and the children of the one who is suffering. Pray that God will guard their hearts and minds from discouragement, as discouragement is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. Pray that they will be protected from wounded things being said to them, both now and in the future. Pray that they will grow up wise and strong and compassionate and beautiful of heart. Believe and pray that grace will always show up for them. Ask God to help you be a kind, considerate, loving, soft place for them to land on hard days. Pray for their faith and yours to remain strong as it is tried and tested. Consider also that God may be calling you to show up for someone else who is needing encouragement as they are being a caregiver for someone else. Their tanks need to be encouraged and refilled as well. Cara Tippetts reminds us that when we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, He uses us as vessels for Him to show up. Showing up is being a witness to the God who cares. The God who is with us to the very end and beyond. So let's take a quick look at the testimony of Kristen Schell, who God showed how to love her neighbors in a unique way. It's just a short video.
I always thought I'd go far away on mission. I really did. I really thought my calling would be international, and I never in a million years thought that the Lord would ask me to walk outside of my door and get to know my neighbors. I'm Kristen Schell, and I live in Austin, Texas. I am a wife and a mother of four children. Any given day, I am in the kitchen or in the minivan. I am active in the kids' school. I'm a writer, and I volunteer at church. We've been in this neighborhood almost 10 years. I always knew we were supposed to love our neighbors because that's the great commandment. But how you live that out day to day is hard, especially when you don't know your neighbors, which is the situation I was in. I did not know my neighbors. Sure, I knew, you know, a handful of them. And so there was this huge questioning, what do you want me to do, Lord? Here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to walk across the street and bang on doors? Do you want me to take cookies? What do you want me to do, Lord? God answers prayers in really winsome ways. I was hosting a party with a friend in our backyard, and I didn't have any tables. And so I ordered a picnic table from Lowe's. And when it arrived 2 days later, I knew that for the purposes of the party, I was going to have it in my backyard. But as soon as that party was over, I was moving that table in the front yard, and it was going to be a gathering place. And so I painted it turquoise, which is my favorite color, and I did. I put it outside underneath the tree in the front yard. It was awkward at first. I have this table. It's bright turquoise. It's sitting in the front yard. And now I'm like, well, now what do I do? So I took a whole bunch of stuff out with me. I took my phone and my journal and my computer. And I even I had some art stuff that I was working on because, you know, I needed to look like I was just doing something. By going out front, I was saying to God, "Here I am, Lord. Your will be done. Go before, behind, and beside me. Into the neighborhood." And that very day, life changed. And I met a neighbor within 3 hours of putting a table out in my front yard. A lot has happened since putting the table out there. There are a handful of women who are now very close friends who I did not know. It has become kind of a gathering place.
I'm Bob. This is my daughter, Peggy.
So one of the best things is just the sense of normal community, everyday life. The neighborhood kids come over. They'll do homework when the weather's pretty. We've had lemonade stands, hot cocoa stands. More intimately, it's a place where I can meet and have met neighbors who now pop by with coffee and just for 15 minutes, a conversation over coffee that wouldn't have happened. The Lord has taught me, and I am learning to be present. It sounds like it should be a no-brainer, but listening is not a skill that came naturally at first to me, nor was being present.
It's great to see you.
Loving my neighbors has taught me how to love God better. It's drawn me into deeper relationship with Him. You don't need permission or a program to go outside and be who Christ has called you to be. When we open up our front door and we take 3 steps right out our front yard, good things happen. Open up your door and let God do the rest.
Okay. This was one person's expression of love towards their neighbors. I want you to think about what yours will be. Maybe it will look a little bit different. That's okay. Loving those around us doesn't always have to take a lot of time. As you read prayer requests on email or Facebook, just pray for that person or situation right then. And then just take a minute and send them a quick text or email saying, "I just prayed for you." You never know how much that might encourage them that day. Whenever possible, when someone tells you a prayer request in person, don't just talk about praying. Ask the person if you can pray for them right now, and then do it. Hearing the prayer being offered up on their behalf is often a source of encouragement for that person. Here are some practical ideas of ways that you can love your neighbor. I just kind of listed them on your sheet. You can take a hobby or talent and use that as a way to help you love others. For example, if you love gardening, consider taking them flowers to brighten someone's day in the hospital or nursing home. Photography, maybe consider taking photos for a family in crisis that might want to capture their final moments with their loved ones. Cooking, maybe signing up on a meal train website to bring meals for a family who's in need. Singing, use it to sing Christmas carols at a hospice home or a nursing home. Maybe it's sewing or woodworking. Freedom for Youth is always looking for adults to share talents and hobbies with their youth in a program where the kids also get to learn about Jesus every week. And lots of talents and hobbies are game for them, so don't be afraid if it's not sewing or woodworking to contact them, because they are looking for lots of helpers. If you have teenagers with friends, consider hosting a movie night at your house with a purpose. Show a movie like God's Not Dead, Do You Believe, Courageous, and have conversations with friends afterwards. We got to see 2 of my daughter's friends come to Christ just from doing that and the conversations that happened in the weeks that followed. Reaching out to the homeless. Take care bags with socks and food and maps to like the different homeless shelters, phone numbers to them. Maybe tuck in a life book or a tract. Store them in the back of your vehicle. And then when you see a person on the side of the road, you will have a tangible way to help them that won't enable a bad habit. Consider asking that person if you can pray for them as well. I've done that, and amazingly, it's never the experience I expect. I always walk away feeling very blessed after praying for them. And sometimes they've even asked if they could pray for me. So you might be surprised. Those in prison, consider raising money and or helping your kids earn money to buy stamps for inmates so the inmates can use them to send Christmas cards to their family or to buy Bibles for inmates. And I know Jerry Van Cleve does both of those things with the prison ministry, so we have someone here locally that you could get in contact with if you want to do that. Orphans, considering sponsoring a child or giving to a Christian orphanage. Or if you travel to another country, make time to tour an orphanage and bring toys or other items that they needed. You might also consider, if you know a family that's really wanting to adopt, but there's financial obstacles for them, giving to help that family be able to adopt. That's another way to help orphans. Shut-ins. Maybe you can partner with Hope Ministries and deliver meals to them on Thanksgiving or Easter. Hope Ministries will have a list of families that have a need. If there's one constant in our world, it is pain and suffering. Love is not always easy. Sometimes God may call us to love someone with a sandpaper personality. I'm sure we all have some people that just kind of rub us the wrong way a lot of times. But God often uses those type of people to rub off our rough edges so that we can become more like him. Remember these words from Billy Graham. The will of God will not take us where his grace cannot sustain us. Remember that suffering will not have the last word. The book of Revelation tells us clearly that Jesus' future reign will make all things perfect. There'll be no more cancer, no more sin, no more broken hearts. This broken world is not the end of the story. Remembering this can fill our hearts with hope during difficult times. Satan would love to convince us that we don't have time, that we are not qualified to go. That's when it's wise to ask yourself, in the words of Priscilla Schreier, who's your daddy? So let's conclude with taking a little time to remind ourselves about who our daddy is. That way, the next time Satan tries to talk us out of loving our neighbors, we can rest in the assurance of the one we belong to and trust that he will fill us with his strength and resources as we go. So here's the video by Priscilla.
When you feel like you can't handle the task at hand and you ask yourself, girl, who's your dad? Because I remember when Jerry said that to me and I got a good look at him, I felt secure, I felt taken care of, not because of me, but because of who I belong to. And what if when you got a good look at your God, remembering who he is and that you belong to him? Listen, I think until the Lord stops me from taking platforms and ministering to women, I will say this until the day that I die, reminding myself as I do when I am quietly alone and I look myself in the mirror and say, girl, who's your daddy? You know what I tell myself? I tell myself, he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all time. He always was, always is, always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised but brought healing. He was pierced but eased pain. He was persecuted but brought freedom. He was dead and brings life. He has risen to bring power, and he reigns to bring peace. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him, and leaders, they can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. Nero couldn't crush him. The New Age cannot replace him, and Oprah cannot explain him away. She can't. She can't do it. You remind yourself that he is light, he is love, he is longevity, and he is the Lord. He is goodness and kindness and faithfulness, and He is God. He is holy and righteous and powerful and pure. His ways are right, His word eternal, His will unchanging, and His mind is on us. He's our Savior, our guide, our peace, our joy, our comfort, our Lord, and He rules our lives. I serve Him because His bond is love, His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and His goal for us is abundant life. I follow Him because He's the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of all leaders. His goal is a relationship with me. He'll never leave you, never forsake you, never mislead you, never forget you, never overlook you, and never cancel your appointment in His appointment book. Never. When you fall, He'll lift you up. When you fail, He'll forgive you. When you're weak, He's strong. When you're lost, He's your way. When you're afraid, He's your courage. When you stumble, He will steady you. When you're hurt, He's gonna heal you. When you're broken, He will mend you. When you're blind, He will lead you. When you're hungry, He will feed you. When you face trials, He's with you. When I face persecution, He shields me. When I face problems, He will comfort me. When I face loss, He will provide for me. And when we face death, He will carry us all home to meet Him. He is everything. For everybody, everywhere, every time, and in every way. He is your God, and that, sisters, is who you belong to.
So, hopefully that was very encouraging to you, that you have a very powerful daddy who loves you very much and will give you all the strength you need, no matter what the situation. Maybe some of you are here tonight and you can't say, God's my daddy. Maybe you know about God, but in your heart you know that you've never committed your life to Him. If that's the case, please come find me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about how you can know Him as your daddy. In our busy world, we often fail to take the time to reflect and to actually ask ourselves, what does God want me to do with what I just learned? What are some ways that God may be calling me to reach out to my neighbors and those who are in need? So I want to give you a few minutes to just take a little time, pray and ask Him. Write down the things that jumped out to you as ways that you could serve others. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. We're actually doing pretty good on time, thankfully. So go ahead and take 5 minutes, and then I'll get your attention again, and then we can close in prayer, okay? Okay. Hopefully you had some time to at least jot one or two things down. And if you come up with other ideas that you think are just wonderful for serving your neighbors, maybe you can email it to Pastor Greg and we can send it out to the ladies, because I know that I didn't think of everything for sure. I just got the list started for you. So, all right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, I pray that each lady here tonight would be inspired to love their neighbors and to love those in their circle of influence more. Move us to not be content to just sit on the bench, but to want to get in the game and to love others with a Christ-like love. May they stay connected to you and to your word, so their cups will be full. Then from their full cup, may they let the love of Christ be poured out onto all those that they encounter. Lord, we know that we're not perfect, that we don't love as well as you love. So help us to confess it to you in the times that we fall short, but then to get back up and give it another try, and to not let little failures and roadblocks stop us from the things that you're calling us to. I pray that we would leave tonight changed and inspired to be more like you and to obey you in this area. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks.